We all grieve. It's sorrowful to lose someone we love. But we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We know they are with Jesus if they've trusted in Him. And we know we will see them again when the Lord comes. And we will be with them and the Lord forever. We don't grieve like those who have no hope.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, as we conclude our study of chapter 23, we'll find that after a brief mention of Sarah's death, the remaining verses describe the purchase of her burial place in great detail. What's that all about?
Well, Dave, let's find out. Turn with us once again to the book of Genesis as we wrap up our look in chapter 23.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. To learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt, our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn there for a second. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. You see, we don't grieve like those who don't have hope. But it's the truth of God that reminds us and guides our hearts in the midst of difficult situations where loved ones in Christ have passed away. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. And he says here, but when the perishable has put on the imperishable and the mortal has put on the immortality, then will come the saying that is written. And you'll be saying it if you're in Christ, by the way. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So because of what he has promised and what he will do, now that we are still on this earth awaiting that time, notice what he says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you're not doing that now, your life is worthless. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord wants you to be about his business, in your family, at your work, within the body of Christ. There's work to be done before he comes, but he will come. And those who have fallen asleep in Jesus will come with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, therefore comfort one another with these words. It is comforting to know that when a believer passes, that they're not there. When we've done memorial services, that's their body, that's not them. They are with the Lord. And I believe Sarah understood, and Abraham understood that Sarah understood that they were looking for a better country. He understood where Sarah was. He had hope beyond the grave. And I believe that based on Hebrews chapter 11. Death has no sting. Even though we die physically, we will never die. John 11. You see, because if sin is taken care of, death is taken care of. So here's the scenario when Christ comes before the tribulation. Here's what we have for the church, which is that if you die, you go in the grave, but your spirit goes with the Lord. And when he comes, there is a unification, a resurrection, and those who are alive remain are changed. Now that's for the New Testament, but what about for the Old Testament? What about for Sarah? Well, I believe from Scripture that when Christ comes at the end of the tribulation, that's the 7-year tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, it's my belief, as we see in Daniel chapter 12 and also John 5, 28 and 29 and John 11, that at that point, Old Testament saints are resurrected unto a resurrection unto eternal life. Sarah will rise again. Abraham will rise again because they believed in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. They were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. They died, as the scripture says, in faith. So with that in mind, how are we to deal with the loss of a loved one? We need to recognize we are sojourners. This is only temporary right now. And when we die, we go to the presence of the Lord and we will be resurrected. Secondly, we need to respond in faith. We need to let our grief and our actions be tempered by the word of God. And this needs to be everywhere in our lives, by the way, but allow our grief and our actions to be tempered by God's word. Notice Abraham mourns. Back to our passage in Genesis. Now Sarah lived 120 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. There was a time of mourning. Mourn for her. There's nothing wrong with mourning. If you're not mourning, if you have a pious view, she's with the Lord, I'm fine. That's not reality. The Lord Jesus, when Lazarus died, although he knew he would resurrect him, he wept. Death is a horrible thing, and we do grieve, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We allow God's word to inform our hearts. Abraham went in, it's implied that he went into her tent to mourn for her. Now, some say that Abraham was away in Beersheba and he came back and she was dead. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. The implication here is that he was there and he went in to mourn for her. Now, it's interesting here. We see that Abraham was focusing on the truth of God. You say, how do I say that? How do I know that? How do I know that Abraham was trusting the Lord in the midst of this? It's pretty apparent from the rest of this chapter that Abraham understood that Sarah needed to be buried in the land because God had promised that. Abraham could have taken Sarah's body back to his relatives. We see in the end of chapter 22 that he had had news from his relatives that his brother Nahor had had children. He could have gone back to his former country, but he didn't do that. He manifests faith. Look at verse 3. Then Abraham rose from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner among you. Give me a burial site among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Now, Genesis chapter 10, verse 15 reveals that Heth was one of the sons of Canaan. And so they were Canaanites. And there's kind of a little confusion about what we'll see later on. Some versions will say instead of Heth, Hittites. And we'll see Ephraim the Hittite. There were certainly those in the land, the sons of Heth, who were called Hittites. But that's not the Hittites of the Hittite Empire. These were Canaanites in the land. And so he arose and spoke to the sons of Heth. I am a stranger and a sojourner among you, and give me a burial site among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. He acknowledges he's a stranger and a sojourner. He was one looking for a better country. God had promised him the land, but he says, I'm a stranger among you. I'm a sojourner. I'm a temporary resident among you. But by faith, I believe we'll see he believes the promise. So what does he ask the Canaanites? Middle of verse 4. Give me a burial site among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Now, I don't believe he's saying give for the sake of give it to me. They're going to try to give it to him. There's a good argument to be made from later on that this term give is a polite way of asking someone to sell you something. And so we'll see that later on. Verse 9, he says, give it to me and I'm going to pay you the full price. So there's this sense that they use language that way. So now at this point, we really have an interesting look at how business was carried out in ancient times. So Abraham rightly wants to bury his dead wife Sarah out of his sight. And he goes to the Canaanites. And what's their response? And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, this is verse 5, hear us, my Lord, you are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our graves. None of us will refuse you his grave for burying your dead. Now we got to remember, why is God going to share all this stuff with us? They obviously realize God has blessed him. Remember Abimelech, the king of Gerar, said, God is with you in all that you do. It's obvious. And he had been blessed. But I think we're going to see that this flattering was probably not a gracious offer, but an attempt to keep him from owning land in Canaan. We're going to see later on the term deed and land and own and those types of things. It would be to their advantage to give him a spot where he didn't own it. He would still be a temporary resident and not someone who owned land in the land or possessed a piece of the promise per se. What seems to be a nice offer is really a business tactic, I think. So how does Abraham respond? So Abraham rose and bowed to the people of the land, sons of Heth. And by the way, Abraham is before these pagans. He's being very gracious and he's being very godly in the midst of them in this deal. We can remember that, right? And he spoke with them saying, if it is your wish for me to bury the dead out of my sight, hear me and approach Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave at Machpelah, which he owns, which is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence for the burial site. Saying, hey, if this is your desire to let me have a burial site, then approach this guy and have him sell me, basically, for the full price, this cave. And so, how do they respond here? So here we see Ephron the Hittite politely yet shrewdly deals with Abraham. Verse 10. Now Ephron was sitting among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Heth, even all who went at the gate of his city, saying, and so here we have some more information. They're all at the gate of the city. This is an official deal. There's bargaining going on here. And notice what he says, verse 11. No, my Lord, hear me. I give you the field. I give you the cave that is in it. In the presence of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. So it sounds at this point like Ephron's a really good guy. He's going to offer the cave and the field also. Yet actually, it's not a great offer. Culturally speaking, I believe he's being shrewd yet polite. He either wants Abraham to say forget it because he's now tacked on a field to the deal. You got to take the field too. So Abraham would say forget it, or he might get a better price. So what does Abraham do? Verse 12. And Abraham bowed before the people of the land. These are pagans, by the way. They don't fear God. And he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, if you will only please listen to me, I'll give you the price of the field. Accept it from me that I might bury my dead there. Abraham basically agrees to the negotiation to pay the price. So what does Ephraim do? Verse 14. Then Ephraim answered Abraham, saying, my Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver. What's that between me and you? So bury your dead. He's trying to act as though he's going to be gracious, but he names the price because he wants him to buy it. You'll see. Pretty slick. I'll give it to you, but it's worth 400 shekels of silver. Abraham has already declared that he would pay the full price. So he said, what's it between you and I? So what happens? Verse 16, and Abraham listened to Ephron. He understood it was a business deal. He listened to him. And what does he do? And Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, commercial standard. So here we see Ephron never intended to give it all to him. And they knew it was a negotiation tactic. In the context of shrewdness and politeness. Notice, because our text says Abraham listened to him. So what's the result? Verse 17. So Ephron's field, which was in Machpelah, which faced Mamre, the field, and the cave which was in it, and all the trees which were in the field. There were deals in these days where you could buy something and not buy the trees, but the trees were included in this deal. And all that were in the confines of the border, notice this term, were deeded over. This is official deal. He is going to own this land in the midst of the Canaanites to Abraham for a possession. Interesting terminology for a possession. In the presence of the sons of Heth, Abraham is going to possess land in Canaan before the Canaanites, before all who went in at the gate of his city. So we have an official deal. Abraham, the sojourner, now owns land in the land of Canaan. So what does he do? Verse 19. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. There we go, land of Canaan. So the field and the cave and that were in it. Now it's repeated again. Were deeded over to Abraham for a burial site by the sons of Heth. You might be saying, I still don't understand why there's so much written here concerning a business deal. Well, as I studied it, there were a lot of clues that I think the Lord wants us to understand. Sarah died in the land of Canaan. Sarah was buried in the land of Canaan. Abraham purchased a piece of what would ultimately be his possession in the land of Canaan. And I believe he did that out of faith. I believe he understood clearly the promises and believed them, as we see in Scripture. And the same reality is for the rest of the patriarchs. They believed the promise too. I want to go through a few quick passages to solidify this in our minds. Turn to Genesis chapter 47. I believe it was an act of faith that Abraham purchased this land rather than allowing it to be given to him. He purchased it so that he would own it. It was his possession. Genesis 47, verse 27. This is after Jacob and Joseph's brothers have come to Egypt. Joseph has been manifest. He has been gracious. And they are now blessed as Joseph has them in the land of Goshen. Genesis 47, verse 27. Now Israel, that's a term for Jacob, lived in the land of Egypt in Goshen. And they acquired property in it and were fruitful and became very numerous. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. When in the time for Israel to die drew near, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "Please, if I have found favor in your sight, place your hand under my thigh and deal with me in kindness and faithfulness. Please do not bury me in Egypt. But when I lie down with my fathers, you shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." And he said, "I will do as you have said." And he said, "Swear to me." So he swore to him. Then Israel bowed and worshipped at the head of the bed. Then go to chapter 49 of Genesis. This is when Israel is blessing those sons. Chapter 49, verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them. He blessed them, every one, with a blessing appropriate to him. Verse 29, then he charged them and said to him, "I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave which is in the field of Ephron the Hittite." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan. Very interesting. He's pretty clear in where he wants to be buried, isn't he? Which Abraham bought along with the field from Ephron the Hittite for a burial site. There they buried Abraham and his wife Sarah. They buried Isaac and his wife Rebekah. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is in it I purchased from the sons of Heth. When Jacob finished charging his sons, he drew his feet into his bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Turn to Genesis 50. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants and the physicians to embalm his father. Remember, Joseph was the number one guy under the Pharaoh. Commanded his servants and the physicians to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. Now 40 days were required for it, for such was a period required for embalming. And the Egyptians wept for him 70 days. And when the days of mourning for him were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, "If now I have found favor in your sight, please speak to Pharaoh, saying, 'My father made me swear, saying, behold, I'm about to die. In my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan, there you shall bury me. Now, therefore, please let me go up to bury my father. Then I will return.' And Pharaoh said, 'Go up and bury your father as he made you swear.' So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household and all the elders of the land of Egypt. And all the household of Joseph and his brothers and his father's household, they left their little ones and their flocks and herds in the land of Goshen. They also went up with him, both chariots and horsemen. It was a very great company. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, they lamented with a great and sorrowful lamentation. And he observed 7 days of mourning for his father. Now when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning of the threshing floor of Atad, they said, 'This is a grievous mourning for the Egyptians.' Therefore it was named Abel Mizraim, which is beyond the Jordan." Then look at verse 12. "And thus his sons did for him as he charged them. For they carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham had bought along with the field for a burial site from Ephron the Hittite." Well, we may not think this is very important, this buying of this land and this burial site, but evidently the patriarchs believed it was very important. And it is very important because God shares this. It is an evidence that Abraham believed the promises. He welcomed them from afar, although he did not fully receive them. The reality is Abraham was looking for a better country. And I believe in the midst of his sorrow, he exhibited faith by purchasing this tomb from the Canaanites to be a piece of the possession that God had promised. So what can we take from this message? How are we of the faith to respond to those who have died in the faith? First of all, we got to remember we are temporary sojourners. This life is not it. We need to be reminded of that every day, by the way. If you're living for this life, if Christ is for this life, you are of all men or women to be pitied. If it's Jesus is just for now, something is very wrong in your heart. Remember, we are sojourners on this earth. Secondly, we need to respond in faith by letting our grief and actions be tempered by the truth and promises of God. And that applies to every area of life. We all grieve. It's sorrowful to lose someone we love. But we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We know they are with Jesus if they've trusted in him. And we know we will see them again when the Lord comes. And we will be with them and the Lord forever. We don't grieve like those who have no hope. Hebrews 11:13, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and welcomed them from a distance, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear they're seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they came out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Would God be ashamed to be called your God? Where's your heart? Is it in this world and this life? It may be an evidence you don't know Jesus. You see, God is gracious, and he has made it clear that the wages of sin is death, and there's no hope for you beyond the grave apart from Jesus Christ. He died for your sins and rose from the dead. If you will trust in him, you will have an eternal hope. If you believe in him, call upon him for salvation. You see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Well, Greg, now I understand the business deal to secure Sarah's burial place, which would also become Abraham's, Isaac's, Jacob's, and more.
You know, that's right, Dave. Abraham was responding in faith to God's promise for the land of Canaan as a future possession. And indeed, after a time of brief sorrow for Sarah, Abraham went about the business of living out faith in what God had said, also knowing that his separation from Sarah would be temporary. Believer, are you living out faith in God's revealed plan in Scripture? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you also know that we are sojourners on this earth. This earth is not our home. We are ambassadors for Christ while we're here, with the full knowledge of our eternal future with him after our physical death or him taking us home at his appearing. Having any doubts? Learn from the life of Abraham. He is God's paradigm of faith.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.